Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible. And the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. Purport. As referred to above, philosophers like Jaimini and his followers establish that fruitive activity is the root cause of all distress and happiness, and that even if there is superior authority, some superhuman powerful god or gods, he or they also is also under the influence of fruitive activity because their reward results according to one's action. They say that action is not independent because action is performed by some performer. Therefore, the performer himself is the cause of his own happiness or distress. In the Bhagavad Gita 6.5, also it is confirmed that by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the sufferings of material pangs. So one should not entangle oneself in matter by mind, but by the man's material affections. Thus, one's own mind is one's friend or enemy in one's material happiness and distress. Atheistic materialistic Sankhyaitis conclude that material nature is the cause of all causes. According to them, combination of material elements are the cause of material happiness and distress. And disintegration of matter is the cause of freedom from all material pangs. Gautama and Kanada find that atomic combination is the cause of everything. And impersonalists like Ashtavakra discover that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord himself declares that he is the source of impersonal Brahman. And therefore, he, the personality of Godhead, is the ultimate cause of all causes. It is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that Lord Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes. What's that verse from Brahma Samhita? He is cause, sarva karana karanam, cause of all causes. So we see these different philosophers here. They take partial truth without knowing the origin of all the theories, what is behind. They take part of it, and they create philosophy, that's the ultimate. They're all right, but they're partially right. See? Beginning from materialists who don't see anything else. See, for him, matter is cause, spirit is behind. Whatever you see, that's a matter, that's a cause. So, try to elaborate a little bit on verse. Again, translation, some philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, while yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain the nature of the ultimate cause. And in this way, those three, four fighting, what's the truth? Okay. Kechit vikalpa vasana. What does it mean, vikalpa? In the verse said there. What is vikalpa? What is vikalpa? What means? Sankalpa? Vikalpa. You know what sankalpa, vikalpa? Accepting, rejecting. That's it, yeah. So, sankalpa is accepting, but here in the verse, this is vikalpa. That means those who reject all kinds of vasana. What is vasana? There are a few different translations, but in this case is vasana. Same like samskara. Vasana means desire or impression. Yeah. In this verse is desire described. So those who deny all sorts of duality is mentioned in the verse itself. some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality, how you call those who deny all duality? How you call those philosophers? Monists, yeah, exactly. Everything is one. They declare that one's own self is responsible for personal happiness and distress, as is in purport is a little bit touched upon. Those monists, they declare that I'm responsible for my personal happiness and distress, no higher cause. See? Duality is denied in this verse. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, there are two main material dualities. So there are two main material dualities which monists deny, which is, one is that one sees material good and bad. These are duality. Material good and bad. That's a duality in material world. So monists, they refute duality, which we also agree. But these are, according to Jiva Goswami, two dualities. One is one sees material good and bad, beautiful, ugly, all this opposed. And the second is that one sees the entire material world as separate from the independent of Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the thing which we disagree. In one sense, you know, good and bad, you know, it is all mind, manasa. But second one, to see entire material world as separate or independent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the thing which monists are erring in this duality. This the first duality, that of opposite, is subject to dissolution by influence of time. And the second duality, that means whatever is good, bad, is all temporary within this world. You know, so it's all temporary, see. And the second duality, that of separateness from Supreme, they said, monists, that this is simply hallucination, our own belief. Monists' views, these are monists' views. Yeah. Therefore, they said that one acts according to, you know, corresponding karma, whatever, and a reaction comes. So there's no Supreme. So whatever one does, corresponding actions, reactions will come to that. So in that sense, even if it's Supreme, as Purport said, even if there is Supreme or some God, whatever, he's bound to give you according to what you create, reactions. He gives you a reaction according to that. So it means he is also bound. So he cannot give you more or something different than you deserve. That means you creating your own destiny in that sense. Whatever you do, you get action. His pattern, his system is set up, and God is just there. He's helpless. He does what you deserve. See, he's born. Yeah. So in that sense, we are cause of our happiness and our distress. They say that action is not independent because action is performed some performer. It's not independent, just out of the blue. We have five items of action. You remember them? Yeah. Place, work, endeavor. Finally, super soul. So performer is just one of them. And performer means, we discussed the other day that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, all Prabhupada doesn't elaborate, but performer means desire, which means false ego. This is performer. False ego is performer, which carries everything else. Sets up mind in motion, intelligence in motion, and finally senses in motion due to false ego. It's interesting, like incredible here, that as verse says here, when Maharaj Parikshit met Dharma, Dharma doesn't complain. You know, who did this, what's happening, like devotees. They never accuse, pure devotees never accuse any mischievous mongers, Prabhupada said there. They see some indirect cause, like their karma, their whatever cause. they think that suffering should be and must be greater than they actually get. They get a little bit on. So from mundane point of view, this is insane, more or less. Like, can you imagine, like you walk down the street and somebody just walks to you and then beats you up, breaks your one leg, both arms, and you are there in the blood. And policeman comes and asking, what the hell is happening? Who have done this to you? And you see, and you start to kind of philosophize. Well, dear, whatever, policeman, you know, as there's verses ahead, and yesterday's verse also, it's hard to say who did this to me, I'm bewildered by different opinions of different philosophies, theories and some believe that no one can ascertain the cause of my, invalidity now. So you cannot express by words what, imagine. And what policemen think, this guy is nuts, This guy is nuts, he'll call the ambulance, but will call also other guys, So, and he said, my dear policeman, I says later, Bull Dharma says, Maharaj Parikshit, you judge this, he said, you think thoroughly of it and you judge who is the cause of my suffering. So, dear policeman, you judge who is the cause of my suffering. And the guy who did this is just in the crowd there, So, but what Maharaj Parikshit says, policeman of the planet, in the later verses, a few verses ahead, he said, the Emperor Parikshit, thus hearing the personality of religion speaks, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. So, policemen wouldn't understand. You think you're nuts, but he, Maharaj Parikshit, understands cause and effect. So, if you just imagine that you could see this in any circumstances, the entire picture, whatever happens to you, that's actually intelligent. That's how we should see. If you just focus on one simple event, small speck of event in which you are, your circumstances, whatever it is, and you don't see broad picture and ties and connection and you will never be able to judge properly. Never be able to come out of depression. So that's the way to see things, to see entire network, even karma, everything. So devotee is a philosopher, yeah? He tried to find out what's the cause of my situation. He doesn't accuse this one or that one or something. Always learns from any situation. So do you do that? Do you ever lament it? Due to a certain situation, you couldn't get out of it, accusing everybody. Temporary happens, of course, at least. Yeah?
The cause of your action, if you don't check it out after, you're just like a little blind man bumping into the wall, bumping into that. Yeah. And you're not learning anything, actually. You're just, it's a life of bumps.
Yeah.
Hard
knocks school.
You got to think, I remember there's something there in the way. So, maybe we just contemplate that.
But for the temporary, we just freak out. That's a mind. It really freaks out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
The devotee has intelligence. He kind of, very quickly you can sober out. Find out what's going on. So devotees doesn't lament for long, at least. And why I'm suffering? That's the beginning of spiritual life, actually. Kami, what's that? Sanatana Goswami. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami. Kami, Sampi, Tapa Troy. What is Tapa Troy? What means Tapa? And there's another meaning to Tapa. Do you like austerity? Is it pleasant? Then the sufferings. So stop also means sufferings. And try, what means try? Threefold. So he was asking Lord Chaitanya, after he just escaped from the prison, from whatever, you know, bribed the Muslims and then went through all this forest and got this skin disease and then finally arrived to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him with this oozing sores on his body. And he was, don't do this, don't do this. So after that, when they sort him out and they gave him, you know, accommodation or whatever. Then he came, and this is first which he asked Lord Chaitanya, "Okay, Ami, who am I and why I'm suffering?" And then Lord Chaitanya instructed me. There's many verses in this. Madhya Lila, I think. And then Lord Chaitanya actually narrates why we're suffering. This is a very philosophical thing to focus and study. First is more or less all these verses summarize that, because identification with the body and mind. First, Lord Chaitanya establishes who is supreme and then touches upon karma, about fruitive activity, something to establish very clearly why we suffer. It more or less comes to misidentification with the body and the mind. That's the cause of all suffering. So Dharma Bull kind of tried to pin all these aspects. And Maharaj Parikshit is satisfied because he understands that this fellow knows. You know, policeman, what he would say? In that case. So, as I said, if we observe this just small spot, we cannot understand. We have to have philosophical understanding also. Like this situation, like there are many conspiracies, many theories, what's happening, why is that? It's incredible how this small, tiny virus just morphs and morphs and morphs and morphs. Can destroy it, just can destroy it. The other day, we discussed with Sankirtan Priya, if you make the virus, if you make him a devotee, nothing can destroy him. And, you know, he spreads all over the planet, you know. So in that sense, see, many theories, many conspiracies, but we have to see agents of you know, even karma, even also as time passes, people get used to it. Anyway, what we would say, like, there must be some cause behind, you know, some plan, Krishna's plan, whatever it is, must be something behind, you know. Just accept. You cannot do anything. Nobody can do anything but accept. Do his best, you know. As you know, from five factors of action of anything is included here also. Super soul, sanction, finally everything. And should we do something about it? You can try, like when it's flood, you put dams or whatever, put sandbags. When it's rain, take umbrella. So we can do our best. Wear your mask, wear your gloves, disinfectant. Don't talk too much with strangers. That's how much you do. But you cannot do nothing. But like, please try to protect yourself. God protects those who protect themselves. What to do? If you discuss the cause, that is like a rabbit hole, entering a rabbit hole. You can't figure out. Or is that really from animals? Is that really from bats? Is that really this? They're created in labs. So how is that possible? So, you know, you just get lost in all this waste of time. And Parpat says that one must deliver himself with the help of the mind and not degrade himself. Mind is the friend of conditioned souls and his enemy as well, which Prabhupada quotes, verse Bhagavad Gita 6.5. So by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the suffering of material pangs. Our affection only causes our suffering. Only our affection causes suffering, nothing else. So to be neutral is that solution. To be observer. Actually, most of the, if not all, spiritual paths advise you to be observer. Not to identify, to be observer. See, for good or for bad. For example, you know, like if you enjoy sports, unless you identify with one of the sides, you cannot enjoy the sport. You watch the movie, unless you identify with some of the characters, you cannot enjoy a movie. You are just observer, you're just so sterile, neutral. So in this way, for good or for bad, it's the same. Because only mind causes you to panic. Fear, lust, anger, greed is all in the mind because you identify with the mind. That's the thing. Identification with the mind. For example, most common is like maybe fear. See, mind is geared to be negative. I don't know, if you are afraid of, I don't know, whatever, death, darkness, ghosts, something. Mind just keeps adding to it. And to, if you identify with the mind, then it grows. It goes out of control. You start to panic. See? But it's all, it's just imagination of the mind. See? So, according to this, you have to be a neutral observer. If you see sense object, as soon as you identify with it, you'll try to enjoy it or whatever, use it. So that, you know, then the karma immediately kicks in. So that's... Since mind is mostly negative, as I mentioned, mind just adds negative things, even this situation. But your meditation is about this virus, whatever. Slowly, you know, worst scenario mind creates. So, creates mostly. But how you control that? How you control that mind or not identify with the mind? Yeah? It's intelligence. That's what's between you and between the one mind. Like, I'm here, mind is there. What is between is kind of vacuum, but that's intelligence. Intelligence controls the mind, or intelligence prevents you not to identify with the mind. And what is that intelligence? How is it strengthened? How? Yeah, but it is something very concrete, specific. Intelligence. Yeah, this is part of it. Intelligence, you need knowledge about it. You need to know things. You need to know situation. Intelligence, that's intelligence, Shastik. And also, intelligence also is discrimination, like I wrote some here. Like logic, this is Shastra. Shastic knowledge, beyond your grasp, but the Shastic knowledge. But then logic, reason, and knowing things how what they are. Like when we are all small, we would see, I don't know, jacket on a hanger. And at night, it looks very weird if you look at it. It looks like it's some demon. And then at some point, you see even moves, even, you know, even he has a hand. So, you know. But if you know, this is actually my jacket there, I just left before sleep, and you know, whatever it is, you know, doesn't. I remember my brother once, many years ago, he was small. There was a room, and somehow it was moonlight over there. Light was in that room, and door was open, and then next door was our room. So we're sleeping on the bed there. And next day, my brother said, "My goodness, I don't know, maybe it's true. There is some kind of creature there with scale. Bari, like sort of dwarf, just standing and staring at the wall like this, you know, like, you know, he didn't see or not, I don't know, I mean, like small boys, they have kind of subtle mind, but you just imagine how many times happened to everybody, you know. So in this way, how mind adds things to it, like at night, I don't know, you are alone in the house. And then, I don't know, you woke up at night, whatever, go to the toilet, whatever. And then you cannot sleep. Just so dry, you can't sleep. And then mind starts to work. What about ghosts and Buddhas and yeah, this and that. And at some point you start to panic. The most of these cases, people have fear from the ghosts. the other day I was talking to somebody, some of the devotee member of the congregation, is panic, fear of ghosts. And most of it is added by mind. And then you start to believe, and it's happening, you feel, you hear the sound. You know, it can be some whatever heater cooling down and creates noise. You think, oh, the steps. So this is how mind just add things you cannot control. And how you call a person who cannot control the mind? He's madman. That's a psychosis. Madman. So to be observer, to distance yourself from the mind, that's the thing. There's a mind, there is me. Between is intelligence. You have to just walk away from it. Walk away from it. You have to know things as they are. If you just kind of turn your back towards whatever it is. Small identification, that's how mind works. Because if you get involved, you get entangled straight away. One's mind is on best friend and also his best enemy, greatest enemy. What does actually mean this verse in Bhagavad Gita? Controlled mind is one's best friend and uncontrolled mind is one's worst enemy. What means that? Like, let's say, you see some obstacle in whatever it is. Okay, maybe concrete obstacle, maybe abstract obstacle, whatever. And then in front of that, you see nice step stone there. Yeah, very simply. Yeah, walk there, step on that stone, and a crossover. Easy. And then you walk, and then you step on this stone slab, whatever, and this stone slab opens the mouth and it grabs your leg. This is what mind presents, you know. So these obstacles created by mind, you know. So how you control the mind? You see the goal, but you see obstacles, and then you identify with the mind, and mind presents all kinds of rubbish, and you get stuck. So to cross over is simply just ignore it. Just, you know, by using intelligence, that's to control mind. Also, for the purpose said the Sankhya, present Sankhya, they said, material Sankhya, everything is in creation, is a combination of material elements. So if you disintegrate the matter, then that's it. You are free. There's no suffering anymore. Any question or something?